This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
We begin still trying to process, because it happened real time as you just heard it, our show open. The article that Seth Wickersham and ESPN posted in connection to the book that we just mentioned about not only Caleb Williams not coming to Chicago, but all of the truths it seemed to tell in a very short amount of time and small amount of space as to A, why we see some of the Bears' dysfunction we do, B, why the last season failed, and then see why we're here right now. I think my biggest concern, after sitting with this for a minute, is still the discussion surrounding Ryan Poles. Because it was on him regarding the responsibility of Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron. And it's been said multiple times, Shane Waldron was Matt Eberflus' hire. But here's the issue with all of this. We know whose agent was running the thing. It was Trace Armstrong, who represented all those individuals. So where is the accountability when it comes to the situation failing the way it did last year? Thank goodness you did what you could to rectify those mistakes. But you're still out a year because of all this when you saw it coming in advance.
I look at this as Kevin Warren stepping in, recognizing what everyone knew and was talking about with the Trace Armstrong piece, said, okay, we need to go in a completely different direction. And Ryan Poles understanding, and it goes back to that press conference, right? Where Ryan Poles, Kevin Warren, together at the table at the lectern, and they have mics in front of them, and Ryan Poles is not doing a whole lot of talking. Kevin Warren, in a full suit, is doing a lot of talking, and Ryan Poles, in kind of that warm-up look, is doing a lot of listening, along with us. And the idea there was that Kevin Warren was saying that Ryan Poles was going to be okay. And the reason he knew Ryan Poles was going to be okay is because he's like, I got this. You can make the decisions, but nothing is getting done until I stamp it with my stamp of approval. And then Kevin Warren having the conversation with George McCaskey saying, we need to pay someone to come in and make sure that this number one overall pick gets what he needs. We need to modernize the way we do things as an organization. And this is the first step. They hire Ben Johnson. He hires his staff. And now it's, you know, everyone's optimistic. It's all ahead. But you still have to look back now, knowing what we know, knowing what we found out yesterday from our interview and the writings of Seth Wickersham preparing for a book that's not going to even be released until September, and saying, from an accountability standpoint, so much of this falls on Ryan Poles and then Kevin Warren able to, for lack of a better phrase, bail him out. I'm not absolving Caleb Williams from any fault in this. He has a part to play as well, but it's all on Ryan Poles, Layla. Like, he's the constant, and he's still here. The only reason we're talking about it and the way that we're talking about it is because he's the guy who's still here from that.
And that's what the title of general manager is. You take responsibility. You're getting that paycheck. You want to be the guy who makes more decisions than anybody else on the team, and that's exactly what happened. Then guess what? You get the responsibility that goes with it, too. You also get us questioning why you may have already signed an extension. When there are phrases like this in this story, Bears GM Ryan Poles stood firm, telling Williams, we're drafting you no matter what. Who went to the playoffs last year?
It was not the Bears. I believe it was the team that represents the District of Columbia.
Even if you were confident in your decision, wouldn't you want to scout because that's what you do by nature? This guy is a scouting fiend. We've seen him at all these different schools over the years. And then how about the nugget from Seth Wickersham yesterday when he's talking to us as we're trying in that point and that time to process context, to process a full understanding, to know that sometimes when you read something, it's not necessarily how it is said. So that's what made the discussion with Seth so important. But then he gives us this piece of information about the Bears process, knowing this stuff that has been said by Carl Williams about how badly Caleb Williams didn't want to come here. And then we get this information right here.
The Bears were all in on Caleb. I mean, they did not scout Jaden Daniels. You know, they were all in on Caden and on Caleb. And so, like, he was their guy. And, you know, how, whether that was wise or not, you know, who pans out, who doesn't, you know, a lot of that has to do with luck and circumstance, but, you know, the jury's out. And, you know, Poles made some decisions. He let go of the head coach. He brought in a new one. He got a guy that I know a lot of offensive minds around the league study and steal from. And so I think that, like, you know, there is that opportunity for Caleb to have the pieces in place that maybe would have been better to have a year ago.
But we find out that he didn't even scout Jaden Daniels. Doesn't even scout him. Does that make sense?
So when I look at this,
when you know that your QB1's dad is trying come hell or high water to not have him on your team, you don't even look at the other dude?
One of the things I'm interested in is when that first conversation, that visit took place. Because he said he came back from that visit, Caleb Williams, according to Seth Wickersham. He came back from that visit and told his dad, okay, I think I can make this work. Don't worry about, quote unquote, nuking Chicago and trying to get me out of this situation.
And it's smartly constructed, too, because Carl looks like the villain in this.
And he said that's he was willing to take bullets for his son. He didn't want to put his son under that spotlight and be like, oh, this is Caleb Williams, not, you know, snubbing Chicago, turning his nose up to Chicago.
As many parents tend to do, right? Like, that makes 100% sense. And then Caleb looks like the hero because he's like, oh, I got to check it out. I don't think that's a good idea.
But to your point, Layla, about them not scouting anyone else, I can understand because some years you don't think you need to know what other people can do because you believe you've got the franchise quarterback, but it's quarterback. And so what you got to remember is if we go back to 2015, okay? So that's going back now through the last 10 drafts, 11 if you count this year and Cam Ward. Of the number one overall picks of the last 11 drafts, only two were non-quarterbacks. Trayvon Walker with the Jacksonville Jaguars in 2022 and Myles Garrett with the Cleveland Browns back in 2017. But follow me on this. So you've got the number one overall pick. And when you have the number one overall pick and you take a quarterback, you think you have your cornerstone, the franchise quarterback. But let's go back through it. 2015, it was Jameis Winston taken by the Buccaneers. 2016, Jared Goff taken by the Los Angeles Rams. 2018, Baker Mayfield taken by the Cleveland Browns. 2019, Kyler Murray by the Arizona Cardinals. 2020, Joe Burrow from Cincinnati Bengals. 2021, Trevor Lawrence by the Jacksonville Jaguars. And then, of course, you have in 2023, Bryce Young, followed by Caleb Williams, and now Cam Ward. And so all those teams thought that they had the guy. That
doesn't mean you don't scout at other people.
And that's my point. Some of those guys, it worked out. Joe Burrow, I'd say it worked out. Jared Goff, after some rehab, it worked out. But those are really the only two guys you could say, like, okay, those guys at a high level, highly winning teams, great seasons of success for those individual quarterbacks. The rest of the guys, they're still trying to figure it out in different places.
Well, but if I make a $5 decision, there's a good chance I'm doing some research.
That's you, though.
Yeah, that is me. And I would sure as hell think it's the general manager of a team.
But think about how many, what we know about front offices. Think about how many people think that they can outsmart everyone. They're the smartest person in the room. Think about how he got the number one pick. How good did he feel about the trade that brought him the number one pick?
Yes.
It was a lot of luck in that, by the way, to have the number one pick.
And I credit Ryan Poles with that. But your work's not done there. Just like my work's not done for showing up today and getting on a microphone. That's not what you do. That's not the process. And that's a front office that has been very steadfast in claiming that their process is correct and sound. And what did we see? A 15-36 record out of that front office.
I would say the process is definitely not correct and sound. I think every GM has hits and misses. That's no GM is perfect.
No.
But there are a lot of GMs who are imperfect because they're much worse at finding hits, and their misses outnumber their hits. And I think right now, you could argue Ryan Poles is in misses greater than hits territory overall. And that's without Caleb Williams in the picture.
I think it even comes down to a little bit of a finer this or that. I think it comes down to there are GMs who have bought themselves the capital to take really big swings and miss, like, say, John Lynch in San Francisco, where you go after Trey Lance and you trade up. But because of your success, it doesn't matter as much. It's not catastrophic. And then there are GMs who want to take those risks, but they don't have enough infrastructure around them to withstand them. And I unfortunately think that is where Ryan Poles fits in all of this right now. Like I've said, I am thrilled for the day I see him prove that theory wrong. I'm thrilled for the day that the Bears win. I still think that this is a team that should, at this point in the development, win 10 games. I've said it before. And I'm not saying that to hold him to the fire. I'm saying that to hold him to that standard, because I think that he's earned that standard. But in this case, when the quote is, we're drafting him no matter what, and you just heard how your dad would consider playing in the UFL, that Caleb Williams might have been in the UFL
how seriously,
to not play for the Bears.
How seriously do you take that when you read that?
Very, because why wouldn't you just hang out in Los Angeles another year?
Well, you're definitely going to make more money in Los Angeles playing for USC than you would in the UFL.
Always been Southern California's pro team. Let's not forget it.
So that's why I take that, not with even a grain of salt, but I'm just like, how serious were you about? There were several different options. That option seems a little far-fetched. But I'll say this. What you're talking about with the...
But it's in the book, though.
No, I got you. With the organization's ability to develop Caleb Williams and thinking that they did have the infrastructure in place to just drop him in, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of why they did not draft Jalen Carter. Because you said you weren't ready for that. You did not have the
infrastructure.
And I think they thought
to take that risk.
I think they thought they were there, where they felt like, okay, we're good now. We can take a guy like Caleb Williams, and we can drop him in, and everything's going to be fine.
But listen, we had so many good texts yesterday where people are rewinding the information in their brain, and you're going back over things that people said or situations that unfolded. And you have this information now, and you're asking these questions. And there's a lot of people on the text line who said, why would you want somebody who doesn't want to be here? And clearly the Bears thought that the talent Caleb Williams has is more important than the desire that he had reportedly temporarily to not want to be here. But at least in those moments, you try to do some due diligence. You try to have a backup plan. You at least try to scout Jaden Daniels. And I would have said this regardless of how many yards he got, regardless of how many games they won. It looks worse because of that. It looks worse because he went to the playoffs.
It definitely looks worse because of all the success he had as the offensive rookie of the year last year.
We haven't even discussed the Cliff Kingsbury part of this, too, by the way.
Well, I think
about the Cliff Kingsbury discussion, knowing this information.
I think Cliff Kingsbury knew he didn't want to be involved with what Matt Eberflus was doing. I think his answer when asked about that the week of the Washington Chicago Bears game told us everything we need to know by how he addressed the situation. I think that Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles on top of him, they might have interviewed a bunch of people, but their decision was faulty, flawed, terrible, however you want to phrase it.
Overconfident.
Overconfident. The whole process to me seems very overconfident.
And you know how I know it's also overconfident? Because the same agent represented your GM, your head coach, and your offensive coordinator who the quarterback openly questioned.
You can go back
to... One-stop shop.
You can go back to the Luke Getsy piece of this. Obviously, Shane Waldron. The fact that you had Thomas Brown in the building and they waited so long before making a change. I think all of those things are indications that they weren't running a tight enough ship. And they weren't truly evaluating what Caleb Williams needed in that moment. They chalked too much up to growing pains as opposed to the structure that can make sure he got where he needed to go.
Because we did not have transition with Molly and Ha, you may not know what's on our show today. This segment, by the way, is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Yes, we know it's Crosstown Day. That's why I wore my Chicago shirt.
Oh, is that why? I just thought you love Chicago when it's beautiful in the summertime.
Both. I was finally happy because I was like, oh, it's a little warm outside yesterday as I was walking around. I still had pants on. Apparently it was 94. I love it. Put it straight to my veins. We'll talk Bears for the next two segments. Mark Grody joins us at 11 o'clock because we need to play a little game of receipts, Rahimi. We need to go over some sound that we have all heard, you and me, Marshall, as a collective media group, and kind of revisit that, knowing this information. Ryan McGuffey of the Recap Podcast, as you know, and also, of course, a frequent guest and host on this station, will talk Crosstown with us because Ozzie took out the flamethrower this morning on Mully and Haas, and we want to bring it back. At 11:45, we'll talk more Cubs and Sox as well. Some interesting thoughts from Ron Coomer as we get ready for it. 12 o'clock is 5 on it. And then at 12:25, we will continue to preview Crosstown. We are the Cubs station, as you know, so we'll hear from Craig Counsell. We'll go over the lineups. Cubs pregame is at 12:45 for what should be an absolutely beautiful day and what we think is going to be an exciting series at Wrigley, do we not?
I just want to point out 708 on the text line, 94 is a little warm, quoting you what you just said about a little warm. She's from Texas. She's good with 110.
No, it really has to do with my personal issues. Like 75 or less, my nose is running. I'm sorry, guys. Some of us are just built for some things rather than others.
That's crazy. Nose running at 75, under 75 is crazy.
Listen here, the world is going in one direction. Call me with tips, okay? I'm here to help you out. But in the meantime, it is going to be a great day for baseball. It is going to be a great day to discuss this. It's a good day for information, and it is a great day to be with you, Rahimi and Harris. More after the blockbuster report. We'll hear from Ben Johnson. Colin Cowherd, I think, is owed an apology by us all. So we'll revisit that as well. It's all next on The Score.
Sox.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Yeah, what is this thing?
It is a monkey's paw dating back to Alal bin Abdallah. I must strongly advise you to not purchase this. Behind every wish lurks grave misfortune.
Pommy!
You'll be sorry.
Williams, Shigini over the midcourt line. There he goes. Midcourt. Oh! It's gone! It's gone! It's gone! Bulls win! Bulls win!
Picking 12th in the NBA draft will be the Chicago Bulls.
That's what I thought. It's Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score and U312-644-6767. We continue to talk about the NBA draft lottery last night. It came down to a coin flip. They had the same set of outcomes, the Bulls and the Lakers, the Bulls and the Mavericks. And unfortunately, it's the Mavericks coming away with that first overall pick. And I know we've got a couple calls, so I know the text line has also been pretty busy. But that was, Marshall, one of the first things I said about this was that it was truly a monkey's paw. If it really came down to the Lakers win and the buzzer beater from Josh Giddey, that was one of the best things I've ever seen in my life in person.
There were other games.
And then the actual outcome that happened in the draft lottery. There were other games. There were 100% other games.
Well, I just...
But that, I mean, essentially, that did factor into tiebreakers.
You were there for that game, right?
Yeah, it was awesome.
See, it was awesome. So I don't think you can do this. It is not a good mental exercise. You're going to put yourself in a very bad place as a Bulls observer, a Bulls fan, a Chicago resident. If you start parsing through each and every game and how one game could have meant the difference, because one ping pong ball could have meant the difference as well.
Well, I mean, that's what we do. We review tape. Games come down to one play from time to time. You ask yourself how you get in that situation. We review games. We review seasons. That is what we do. It's not my determination as to whether or not these outcomes happen.
I just think the biggest thing is, you know, Back in the day when they were running neck and neck with the Philadelphia 76ers, and I was like, hey, if you just tank like the Sixers are tanking right now, you're going to be in good shape because you'll have a 40% chance of being a top four pick. And the Sixers took advantage of that, and that's what happened. Now, the Dallas thing is a little bit crazy because they had a very slightly higher chance of getting the number one pick than the Bulls did. 1.8 versus 1.7%.
Oh, you're telling me 0.1 was the difference between 12 and 1.
I'm just saying the odds, the actual odds. That's the thing about odds. They don't always end up being, it's just a percentage chance. Strange things happen all the time. I've hit a half court shot before, but guess what? The odds aren't high on that. It
the
just
odds
happened.
Of me hitting a half court shot are significantly lower.
Than my odds?
Yes.
Probably.
Uh-huh.
Based on what you've told me about your basketball...
Lack of skills?
Acumen. As far as playing the actual sport.
Not only that, but the thing I was born with, which is height, yours is more than mine. And that's my point in all of this.
I just think, you know, you had teams like, you know, the Charlotte Hornets, who ended the game on the season on a 7-game losing streak. We knew why they were here. 19 wins. The Jazz, 17 wins. I think it's interesting that the teams with the three lowest win totals, none of them got a top three pick.
Yeah, I did joke. I texted a buddy of mine who's a Wizards fan, and I'm like, you guys were robbed. And he's like, you were robbed. And I'm like, we were all robbed. Sixers, though, at least the thing about them is they controlled their outcome. You knew exactly what was happening when they shut down Tyrese Maxey for the season. And the Jazz are still in the top five. Like, that's the difference in this.
Yeah, a top five.
The Wizards pick, are number six.
A top five pick carries a lot of weight. The fact that the Wizards had a 52.1% chance of having a top four pick and ended up with the sixth pick, that tells you how that's how numbers work. So, you know, and I want to remind people that, that they can definitely give us a call, 312-644-6767, to parse this out with this segment, because we are taking calls. And also go into the Odyssey app, 670 The Score. The meatball machine is always on.
It is, yeah. And it's not just for Bears, as one of our texters asked. It is absolutely not just for Bears.
Meatball machine.
Yeah, so that is something that you can use anytime. So let's go to the phones right now. If that's okay with everybody, let's start with Kevin. Kevin, you're on The Score.
Hey, good morning. So all this talk about percentage chances and a coin flip and do we want to hit the last second shot against the Lakers, I think there's a better way, and I think it can be found in the Professional Women's Hockey League. So they announced recently a rule change where teams, as soon as they are mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, they start earning draft order points. So, and they work like standings points, but you only earn them once you're eliminated from playoff contention, mathematically. So, the worst teams get to start earning points sooner than the good teams, because the worse you are, the sooner you're mathematically out of the playoffs. So then, once you're eliminated, every time you win, you get a couple draft order points, and whoever ends the season with the most draft order points gets the higher draft pick. So it incentivizes performances all the way to the buzzer of the season, because by the time the bad teams have been eliminated, they'll have more time than that they can earn the draft order points. So what do you think about a system like that, not just for the NBA, but for, you know, the NHL, the NFL, where we see tanking all over the place?
I think it's a really good point, Kevin. I appreciate the thought and the submission. I think anything that would, especially now that we talked about with the new CBA and how it's not as easy to move players and move draft picks as it used to be, there should probably be some sort of draft response into how they're doing this. Vincent Goodwill touched on it, our friend Vinny, who used to work with me at NBC Sports Chicago here in town. He talked about how the draft lottery process overall needs to be reevaluated. Now, as to whether or not teams would go for that, I don't know. But the CBA that just enacted seemed pretty prohibitive when it came to parts of this being favoring players, you know, their movement, or perhaps favoring teams. Either way, it's all worth a discussion. And with another league already doing it, that's a really good idea.
I don't hate that idea. It's kind of akin to what I always said, which is, hey, maybe when the teams have been eliminated, they should play some type of tournament to determine draft order. But then you would have teams that would tank anyway, but just be good enough to, you know, go for the number one pick if it's a Cooper Flagg type, if it's a no-doubter, LeBron James, Kyrie, those types of players. It's fascinating what the imagination can unlock if you really start thinking about how they can address this. But I don't hate that idea at all.
No, and you know what? When you talk about the tournament that you just described, here's the other part of this, is we know AAU is a foundational piece to professional basketball. Well, what do you learn how to do in AAU?
Play
in
tournaments.
Yeah. That's why the in-season tournament is partially so successful. If people hear the word tournament, they're like, oh, I'm in. You know, it's just one of those things that gets unlocked. Like, that's a mode that is very familiar. And I like that part of it. You know, I do like the in-season tournament. I like how that's gone down.
Would we watch that?
I think we watch everything. I watch the play-in game. I watch Summer League.
No, but I'm saying, what type of fanfare do you think there would be for a postseason tournament for the non-playoff teams to determine draft order?
I think as long as draft order still has this much value, you're going to get people watching.
Okay. And so that means they can make money. That means players get played. That means there is enough incentive. That means a television deal is in order. There's money to be made there. So I think the NBA might be open to something like that.
785. And sometimes, guys, your longer texts, they don't always translate on the text line, right? Like, they go in backwards order or they're out of order. I thought the NBA was going to check anti-tanking. The teams, it's pretty evident, and the draft pool talent is not nearly as great as past years. All the international talent and college prospects lucky to find a quality round two guy. Thank you for my takes. I think this is one of those drafts, though, where the NBA was very pointed in not only obtaining assets, but the effort to do so. Like, there's a reason the Bulls even wanted to protect their pick. Ultimately, that was a move that ensured them of a first-round pick, when you consider that. That's another thing, though. They increased their odds of making that likelihood happen. They knew that that was a possibility, and they did something about it. And that's kind of my point overall here.
And it's not the first time that's happened. How do you think the Spurs got Tim Duncan? Like, there's a long history of this.
But the Spurs getting Wemby is also a part of this. I also went back and looked at the Oklahoma City Thunder record. So here's why I think the process was so wild. They were 22-50 in 2020-2021 season. We know what that was. 21-22, they were 24-58. The next year, they were 40-42. The next year, 57-25. This year, 68-14.
They had young players. They put it together.
But it's that exponential growth that we talk about based on some trades that were at the time considered very controversial and blockbuster. And then you see what was happening with the asset buildup and what they've been able to do ever since. I still think that they're the team that has the most asset possibility of getting a guy like Giannis because of that flexibility. Let's go back to the phones and go to Shad on the South Side. Shad, you're on with Rahimi and Harris on the Score.
Layla, what's going on? Marshall.
What's up?
My man, you always my homie.
I appreciate you.
The Captain Rogers bravado this morning has really got me at a bad spot. When I heard the Bulls lost on a coin flip, for every pick that went round, I dropped an edible in my drink.
Wow! No!
That's
how
that's
are
one
you
approach.
Talking to us right now?
I just woke up, Layla, all right? So this is where my thing is. I was completely irate last night because after we've been told to be patient, we've been sold a pipe dream to consider hope and fallacy that we're going to evaluate the correct talent and cultivate players and get this collection of guys together and run the East. We saw that with the Baby Bulls. And I don't know, Marshall, how much you saw of it when you were out of the market, but we went through that era. It was fun. The Nocioni, the Ben Gordon, the Kirk Heinrich vibes, they were great. You know what I mean? But at the same token, the teams that successfully win in drafting or tanking correctly are teams that evaluate the draft class and they scout it correctly and they set their infrastructure up before the draft picks made. You build your luck. The Bulls have hope for luck. And they have horrible scouts and horrible evaluators, so it's hard for me to get hyped on anything in terms of a possibility being positive. So I'm sorry, Captain America. I'm not feeling it.
Wow. Okay.
I'm just happy you're awake.
Yeah, that's a lot of edibles.
Hey, man, you can confess. We aren't going to arrest you for anything. I think everything you said was pretty legal anyway, so there you go. The only thing that might make you feel bad is the result that when you wake up in the morning, the draft lottery still is what it is.
Yeah, nothing's changed. 785 on the text line. AK stinks. Just spend the money on Giannis with a new, fresh opportunity.
It's not just about money. That's what we've been trying to say.
Stop talking about Giannis as a Bull. I don't want to hear it anymore. It's not happening. They did not prepare for the moment. There are teams who have prepared for this moment. The Bulls are not one of them.
Also, I will say this. In knowing what we do know about the Bulls, that's not what they want to do. That is antithetical to what we know about their process. We know they want to get 9 or 10 above replacement players to try to make this work in a functional way. The real question now is, as Casey pointed out, it's not just Cooper Flagg setting, it's not just Giannis setting this whole market. It's not just Giannis affecting who might pick first in the draft, which is a very real possibility. It's also as much about that as it is trying to make this come together in a way that is functional. You know, like, it's about having as many draft picks as you possibly can.
And they don't have enough draft picks. They really need to go hard with trading the players they can trade this offseason to get more, to just get more. I mean, if we're going to be honest, they need more draft capital. They don't have enough because they have a minimal amount.
And maybe that's why they want to go this route. You know, like, they prioritized, maybe that was a better way for them to say that they wanted to get assets that would function. When draft picks are the whole prospect and they are the biggest goal, maybe that was something they said, well, this is an easier way for us to try to build. But unfortunately, we haven't seen the fruits of that labor totally come through yet.
I'm going to take this opportunity to step away from the hoops conversation and remind you that you listen today through Thursday for your chance to win tickets to our live broadcast at Brick House in Wrigleyville with special guest Ian Happ on May 28th. It's all brought to you by Verizon. Hopefully, Ian Happ will be healthy and in good spirits by that time.
Also, I tease this, so I want to play because with all this stress about the coin flip, myself included, as I walked into the office with my own feelings today, Casey Johnson had a good point.
This is the second bad coin flip in Bulls franchise history. In 1979, the Bulls lost a coin flip for the right to the first overall pick, which turned out to be Magic Johnson. The Bulls selected David Greenwood from UCLA with the second overall pick. There is a little solace in this. If the Bulls had gotten Magic Johnson, they would not have been in a position to draft Michael Jordan in 1984.
Yeah, the last part. I think the last part is the most important part of that. I was like, well, if they had Magic, they wouldn't have been bad enough to get Michael.
And you know what? Fresh off of the news that he's going to be a special contributor on NBC.
Do we figure out what he's doing yet?
First thing I woke up and thought was, what would Michael Jordan say about this?
Michael Jordan would say... I don't know. What's great about it is I have no idea what he would say.
I don't either.
I have no idea, but I'm so curious. And that's why NBA on NBC, they did the right thing in getting him as a special contributor. I don't know what he's going to be doing, but I can't wait to see.
Well, the NBA did the right thing because what are we talking about today? The draft lottery for two segments. We're going to switch gears coming up next on Rahimi and Harris on The Score. Big news, not just regarding Ian Happ. You can hear him at 11 o'clock with us. That's in just under 20 minutes. But before that, we've got to set up what happened last night. Not only the win over the Marlins and how, but also the moves that have been made in response.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
If you just missed our last segment, I strongly recommend you go back on the Odyssey app and check out the rewind feature. Look at our chapters on Rahimi and Harris. We just finished talking to ESPN senior writer Seth Wickersham, the author of the book that is coming out in September, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. Massive details regarding the family of Caleb Williams, his dad Carl, and what went on before he ended up being drafted first overall by the Bears last season.
They seriously considered trying to evade the Bears in a way in which they would not have to play for the organization, exploring all kinds of options, including even possibly playing a year in the UFL if that could somehow drive him into undrafted free agent territory.
He could have gone back to USC, but as we just heard from Seth, that was not the option that they wanted to take. So that is I strongly recommend you go back and listen. We've been talking about it for the last few segments, and for good reason. That came out earlier in the hour.
It was a good segment, and I'm glad Seth was able to join us to give us some context on the stuff that he found out in writing that book.
And not only that, but we have a couple giveaways we have to take care of too, right? Before we get to everything.
Let's start with Coombs Corner. Have you heard of it?
I have heard of Coombs Corner.
Hey, baseball fans, you can head to Coombs Corner in Lockport after the game tomorrow. Enjoy Yingling Game Day buckets for $12. Score some Yingling swag plus live music later on that night. Don't miss the postgame party tomorrow night at Coombs Corner in Lockport.
And we talked about Crosstown too. That was earlier in the show. Again, that rewind feature will get you there. And tune in tomorrow morning for Mully and Haw's Crosstown series preview from 5:30 to 10, live from the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage in front of a studio audience. They're going to have Tommy Hotovy at 7, Ron Coomer at 8 in studio talking Cubs. And they will also have the White Sox TV team. Ozzie Guillen and Chuck Garfine will be in studio at 9 a.m. That is tomorrow, starting at 5:30 on The Score and the Odyssey app. And now it is time for a major Score announcement. We are very excited to tell you that 670 The Score has partnered with the Chicago Sky and will broadcast 7 of the team's games in the upcoming season. And the broadcast will feature an all-woman broadcast team. Kylan Mills is handling play-by-play. You know her from the Big Ten Network as well. I will be part of it as well. I will be an analyst, and Alyssa Bergamini is hosting the pre- and post-game shows. And these games can be heard on 670 The Score or by downloading the Odyssey app. I know, very exciting. The first game on The Score is next Thursday's home opener against the New York Liberty. The Score is also going to broadcast the two home games at the Indiana Fever on June 7th and July 27th. We've got more details and a full schedule at 670thescore.com. And now we go out to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. And we are happy to make this announcement with Adam Fox, the Chicago Sky president and CEO. Adam, thank you so much for joining us and for teaming up with The Score.
Well, thanks to both of you. And before anything else, congratulations to both of you on the new show and the time slot. Been a long time listener, so glad to join you guys here today. And we're super excited to be part of The Score.
Marshall even wore the W shirt in honor of the announcement today.
I have several W shirts. It's not a big deal. I've always supported the W. I'm a long time. The comments when they were going back to back to back and just keep winning titles, that's how I got hooked on to the WNBA. But excited for this partnership, Adam, as I know you must be as well, along with the organization. Tell us just a little bit about how this came together and the importance of getting these games not only on your TV set, but also over the air.
Yeah, it really came together. You know, a lot of thanks, and Mitch was really into it. Like he was sort of the catalyst for all this to start happening. And you know, I think he saw what we're all seeing now, which is the last 12 to 18 months, the popularity of the W has taken off. We are really have moved ourselves into the sports culture, not only in Chicago, but around the country. And I think we saw an opportunity to do something great. Score, obviously, with a tremendous reach and a lot of listeners, and a chance for us to continue to expose our product to everybody around the area.
And if you want to see Adam Fox, you can check him out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore, here to join us with this great announcement. It's such a pleasure to be part of the broadcast crew for this, Adam, especially when you consider working with Kylan Mills and also Alyssa Bergamini. To be able to promote this in such a way as a broadcast team really means a lot, but also to do this together. You know, what can you tell us about just the excitement that we can have experiencing not only the games over the air, but also what home fans might see this season?
Well, I think a few things. I think having worked with Kylan before, I think you guys are gonna be great. What a great team that Mitch put together. The excitement on the radio, will be fantastic. You're going to be in a noisy environment. You're going to be in an environment that's going to hit. We'll certainly get all the senses going, because you're going to see great action. You're going to see a lot of intensity, and you're going to see what we're really proud about are large and enthusiastic crowds that have continued to come out to the Wintrust Arena now over the last couple of years.
I know a lot of people are excited about the new players that you guys have added to this team. You can look at Ariel Atkins. Obviously, Haley Van Lith had a huge following in college. What are you most excited about in terms of new personnel on this team and with a new coach and Tyler Marsh? I know there's going to be change.
Yeah, well, I think that's where it sort of starts with Tyler. We had a remarkable draft last year where we added two real foundational pieces in Angel Reese and Camilla Cardoso. We brought back Courtney Vandersloot, which every team needs a great point guard. Then you added great veterans like Ariel Atkins, Kia Nurse, returning players like Michaela Onyenwere and Rachel Banham. And what we've done is surround our post players with a lot of great shooting. And when you have leadership from Tyler and the structure that he has and what he's trying to do, and you combine it with players that are just great people. We have great players that are great people and a great coach. You end up working yourself into a recipe that's going to make a significant difference in how we play this year.
We're talking to Adam Fox, the Chicago Sky president and CEO, about becoming a broadcast partnership team. 7 Sky games. You can hear them on the Score this season, starting with March 22nd against the New York Liberty at 7 p.m. I also want to talk about the big news when it came to the venue change. Last year, this was something that a lot of fans asked about. I'm sure it was discussed as well with you all, but logistics didn't necessarily make it work, but not the case this year. June 7th, the Sky take on the Indiana Fever at the United Center, happening again on July 27th. What can you tell us about just getting the UC as a partner in all of this and making sure as many people as possible can see these games?
Well, yeah, thank you for mentioning last year. I mean, last year, logistics just didn't work. The building was booked. The Democratic Convention was there for the last game. And so we really didn't have the opportunity last year. But the first people who really made it work were the good people at MPEA. The leadership there who operate the Wintrust Arena, they shared the vision. They saw what was going to be really good for the city and for the fans. And that made it easy for us to go and talk to the United Center. And all the folks there couldn't have been nicer. And couldn't have been more interested in hosting the games. And as you said, Layla, I mean, it allows us to take the capacity, basically double the capacity, and bring more people in. And we think we're going to have a really, really great environment. It'll almost be like given the amount of Indiana or Caitlin Clark fans that tend to come to the games, it'll almost be like a really good high school or college game when the crowd gets going back and forth. So it should be a pretty wild environment.
Hopefully the Caitlin Clark fans don't outnumber the Chicago Sky fans. That's the goal.
What he said.
I still think Chicago will turn out and will have more than they will.
What has been the fan support when it comes to getting more big names on this team? I talk all the time about people wanting to know who to cheer for. Players like you mentioned, Courtney Vandersloot, you know, veteran presence in this league, but Camila Cardoso and Angel Reese now in their second season, then adding Haley Van Lith. This is a star-studded team. A lot of casual fans now know where some of their favorite players are going to be playing for the Sky.
Yeah, having the name recognition and the connectivity with fans that Angel and Camilla and Haley bring because of their youth and their ability and how well they've utilized social media and created a following has been a huge deal. I think when you watch Courtney Vandersloot play basketball, even though she's has been in the league for a long time, she still runs the floor like a young kid. And to be able to make things happen with the kind of players and shooting that we have, you're going to have a lot of players to root for. And they're all going to be making really good. Courtney Vandersloot will get you the ball exactly where you want it so that you can make a play. And that play is going to be exciting, and people are going to really enjoy watching the caliber of basketball we're going to play this year.
Anything else you want to tell us while we still have you on the line about the broadcast partnership and about what you think is going to happen this season before we let you go?
Well, I think we're really excited, again, to be in different platforms, whether it's on TV, on WCIU locally, or whether it's on the Score. What do they always say? TV up, TV volume down, and listen to the Score for those 7 games.
Sure.
To make sure that you're getting the best of both worlds. And it's just going to be, the arrow is really pointed up for us, and we're looking to create a run now here of extended success, and we're really glad that the score is going to join us for the first year of that extended run.
Well, we are too, and I know I am happy to be a part of that team, the Sky Broadcast team, a part of the 670 The Score team, and also a team of people who want to watch and want to absorb the WNBA as much as they possibly can. So, Adam Fox, thank you so much for taking the time to join us for this big announcement on The Score.
Thanks, Adam.
Pleasure. Thank you guys very much.
Thank you. That was Adam Fox, the Chicago Sky president and CEO. And yeah, big news on The Score today. It's just been one of those days where things have been happening real time.
Bears.
Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
I ain't talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Mark Grody.
Whatever, the Bears suck.
On The Score.
He joins us live on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. This is Rahimi and Harris on The Score with you, but time for our friend Mark Grody. He's going to be on the show on Monday, but we couldn't wait with this blockbuster news coming out from ESPN and Seth Wickersham about Caleb Williams. We wanted to bring him in to just go over what he knows and what he thinks about whenever this story came out. Hey, Mark, how are you?
What's going on, guys? Yeah, I mean, like, I have two distinct sides to what is going down or what we now know went down with the Bears. My first instinct, honestly, was to celebrate. I was on last night. Sometimes when I'm away from you guys, I need the work at night. So I did work last night. I'm sorry. I didn't want to have to reveal that to you. Marshall might have come on the show last night, Layla.
Two segments.
Wow.
Two segments. And I told him why the Bears are going 7-10.
I had 9-8, by the way. We could talk about that.
I still think they should win 10 games. We're going to get back to the schedule on Monday, by the way, Grody. You got a lot of catching up to do. We'll talk to you about it offline.
All my schedule thoughts for Monday. But honestly, like, it's a great moment that we came so close to not having Caleb Williams in this town. And it was Caleb Williams who made the decision to not nuke Chicago. Quote, "I can do it for this team. I am going to the Bears." Celebrate that this catastrophic potential didn't occur. Like, if that had happened, if he had gone to the UFL, or if somehow, some way he ended up with a different team like the Minnesota Vikings, I can't think of anything that would have been more sports catastrophic in this town than that. And I have seen, and you guys have seen, a lot of sports catastrophe in this town. So there was part of me that was like, what are we all getting mad about here? The player ultimately said, no, Dad, I do want to go to the Chicago Bears. Now, the other part of this is, the part that really got me pissed off, is the film watching part, that he would watch film alone with no instructions or guidance from the coaches. No one tells me what to watch. That's what Caleb Williams was telling to his dad, Carl. And all I could think of was, and I talked about this in real time as the episodes were going on HBO Hard Knocks, how they were cramming it down our throats that Matt Eberflus is sitting in a video room with Caleb Williams showing him certain things. Every single episode, there was a moment where they were shoving it down our throats. It was a scam, man. Like, the idea that he was being coached, and now we know that he was not being coached, just angers me. And I don't know if that was, like I suspected that it was the Bears trying to help his reputation a little bit, because it obviously had been muddied quite a bit for Matt Eberflus, because the team had been bad and lost 10 in a row and all of that kind of thing. And they just made a big point of showing us that there was coaching going on, when in fact there wasn't coaching going on. So, well, that's the part that really got me worked up, guys.
Mark, to be clear, there was coaching going on. It was just very poor coaching. I think that's the lesson that we take away from this, is what Matt Eberflus and his staff were actually up to.
Whoa. What was all this tactics talk?
It was just talk, Layla. It was just talk. And that's what we learn when we talk about steps were skipped early on. There was a lot of talk going on, but then when
mistakes
you get on... Mistakes were made. Then they would
steps
get on the field
skipped.
And they'd be like, okay, I guess this is what we're doing. And I think, Mark, and you tell me if you agree with this, I think there was probably a thought process, whether that was from Matt Eberflus and Ryan Poles and then the offensive coordinator and Shane Waldron, that these were just growing pains and he would adjust. But there wasn't enough done to control the process and the evaluate the actual progress of Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and I'll go back to the coaching. Like, there were indications, you know, from the players, from Mercedes Lewis, from Keenan Allen, that there had to be harder coaching going on, which Caleb Williams supposedly, because he would say it, desired that hard coaching that he wasn't getting out there. So, yeah, there were people around him. But the idea, again, going back to the HBO Hard Knocks, the idea that it was going to be Matt Eberflus that was going to develop this quarterback, because that's what they were telling us. That's what they were trying to tell us while they were trying to clean up the reputation of Matt Eberflus, that he was going to be the guiding force. I mean, I laugh even thinking about it, that, you know, maybe Matt Eberflus deserves the least criticism in this, because I don't think he had anything to do with what the offense was doing other than not saying that it wasn't okay, other than not stepping in and saying, what the hell is going on here, and really questioning what the offensive coordinator was doing. Unfortunately, the head coach wasn't questioning it. The players in the locker room were questioning it at every turn they could with reporters, on the record, off the record. And so it just, like, I'm worked up about it, and I know everything's better now. I just feel like everybody was kind of scammed last year, now that we know what we kind of thought we knew.
Well, and that's it, is that as a collective, Mark, fans knew. Our listeners sure knew. You and I knew. Marshall knew, and Marshall was at Channel 2 at the time. Casual observers of the Bears knew. The number one question was, can they develop a quarterback? The number two question was, hasn't really happened. Look at the yardage totals. Number three was Colin Cowherd coming out and saying what everybody suspected at the time anyway. And now we have the proof that it was there. We all did some level of mental gymnastics to try to tell ourselves that Caleb Williams would be in a better situation than what he ultimately ended up in last year.
Yeah, I mean, we all tried to rationalize what Shane Waldron may be able to do because of what he was able to do previously to coming to the Bears. So everybody kind of said, okay, let's give this a shot. Let's see what's going on. And look, and I said this too many times, and I'll say it again. Like, in theory, I liked what they were doing with Caleb Williams on the field to begin the season, because they were letting him do everything. They were treating him like, This is a generational quarterback. This is the number one overall pick. This is the guy that everybody's been anticipating, like they were anticipating Trevor Lawrence and quarterbacks previous to that as well, that were considered generational guys. But he couldn't handle the full load that they put on him, and they were really, really slow to adjust. I don't think they ever did adjust until maybe Thomas Brown came in here and he talked about adjusting and doing different things. So it's really, like, and here's the part where, you know, and we're all kind of on the same page here. Like, things seem really good now. The Bears are now comporting themselves like a big boy team with the moves that they have made by getting the guy in Ben Johnson, by solidifying some things on their offensive and defensive lines. But guess what? Guess what happened in the process? Guess what the consequences are now, and that is relevant from the past? Caleb Williams got ripped off of a year of development. Now, can he catch up? Maybe. I'd like to think it's possible that with Ben Johnson being here, considering the resume that he has, but you're never going to get that year back. So you had that year taken away from you where you didn't learn rudimentary, fundamental things because of the way this coaching staff was.
It is Grody time here on a Friday here on Rahimi and Harris as we lead you up to Cubs White Sox, the Crosstown Series at Wrigley. Pre-game coverage for that begins at 12:45. Pat Hughes, Ron Coomer have first pitch at 1:20 on the Score and the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. We're going to get to that with Ryan McGuffey in our next segment. But right now, let's hammer down a little bit on what you were talking about, specifically with Caleb Williams and our reaction to this story about him not wanting to come to Chicago. I don't think that's as big of a deal, because he eventually, as you said, Mark, he changed his mind. He's here. Ben Johnson is also here. He's in what you would think would be the best hands for development. But it's not the year of development missing that I'm the most concerned about. It's the trauma that was done in that year. When you hear about stories about him having trouble, you know, falling asleep, thinking about all the things that have gone wrong, the 10-game losing streak. And in listening to that Colin Cowherd interview with Ben Johnson, right after this is all released, what was your biggest takeaway about what Ben Johnson had to say about all of this? Because I know mine was, he gave us kind of an insight into where they are right now with that development, and that's the footwork portion of this. At least that was the biggest takeaway for me.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, when I heard the footwork part of it, Marshall, I was like, oh, here we go again. Another quarterback who needs help with the footwork, because these were the same talking points we heard from Matt Nagy with Mitch Trubisky, and then the same thing with Matt Nagy and Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy with Justin Fields. And
now
here
there was
we are
some
again.
Read progression when it came to Trubisky. Read progression was a big discussion.
What does that mean? Read progression?
Read.
Explain yourself.
Progression.
Read.
Oh, progression through the reads.
I thought you said read progression.
You know that whole, like, look at the field and know where you're throwing.
No, thing? He thought you said reprogression as in redoing progression, like R-E hyphen progression.
Oh, I get it now. And when he asked the question, I thought R-E-E, and I'm like, wait, that's not
no,
a word.
No, it was the R-E.
No, I got you, Layla. You're right. Yeah, that was the fatal flaw for Mitch Trubisky. He was seeing half the field, and so eventually they took away half the field from him when they finally realized they had to amputate what he had.
Not
out
amputate.
Yeah, they did.
It got really violent.
They had to cut it off. That's what they did. And there were similar things with Justin Fields, who, and it's amazing to me still, like when I think about Justin Fields, that he had one of a historic year for a quarterback with his legs, but none of it mattered. None of us will talk about that. We'll look at Justin Fields and call that a failed quarterback for the Chicago Bears relative to where he was picked.
Yeah, speaking of that, this segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. But part of the reason we wanted to have you on, Mark, was because of all the things that Bears players have said in the past couple of years. When you hear this, I think justified by QB1's dad, it makes you want to go back and listen. A lot of people brought up the Justin Fields coaching comment, so I want to play it for you. Now knowing what you know, having been in the room, and then knowing this information now.
Of course, you know, things that I didn't like, I felt like, you know, I wasn't necessarily playing my game. Felt like I was kind of robotic and, you know, not playing like myself. So, you know. My goal this week is just to, you know, say F and just go out there and, you know, play football how I know how to play football. And that's not, that includes thinking less and just going out there and, you know, playing off of instincts rather than just of, you know, so much, so to say, info in my head, data in my head, and literally just going out there playing football. I mean, just going back to it's a game. And that's it, because that's when, you know, I play my best is, I'm just out there playing free and being myself. So,
what do you think was causing you to think so much? Maybe think too much.
You know, could be coaching.
Woo.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, and the floor is yours.
And then Dan Weiderer sent out a tweet, pulled the grenade out, rolled it in there. Weedsy, my guy from the Take the North podcast, goes absolutely viral. We are then guided back to the locker room. We all, the media that was there, marched down to the locker room. We gathered around Justin Fields' locker, and he was as angry. It was really the only time I ever saw Justin Fields angry. He was like, put it on me. Put it on me. Put it good. Put it on me.
And he was right, by the way. He was 100% right there.
I mean, we all looked at it.
Not to put it on him, but that the coaching was a problem.
Yes, and the fact, like, even go back, not just that last deadly line that we played and we all had a certain reaction to, but what he was saying even prior to it, where he was like, I'd F it. Look, all quarterbacks are going to and should get a lot of info and data, as he said. But that says to me that Justin Fields was getting bad information and bad data or data or a playing style or a playbook that he was uncomfortable with. And look, like I said, Fields called us all down, and he kind of was like he didn't want to throw his coaches under the bus. But quite frankly, he threw his coaches under the bus in that case, and he probably was justified in doing that. So, boy, this looks – I mean, when I hear that too – and look, Weider never backed off of what he tweeted and what he put out there, but I think that this justifies what he said, even if it was a little crass the way he worded it. I think this justifies what Dan said in that moment, and Dan, you know, had to clean some things up back then, felt like bad about it. But look, man, everything that went on and some of the things that we were hearing back then are all coming to light here at this point. Now, you know, Did the Bears ruin Justin Fields? I don't think so. I think Justin Fields has his own issues as a quarterback, and maybe we'll find out. Maybe he comes to life this year with the Jets. I'll always root for Justin Fields to do well, but he did have his own flaws that went around with it. But the Bears certainly did not help this quarterback to progress beyond some of those limitations.
The lesson here for me, Layla, Mark, the Bears under Matt Eberflus had a broken quarterback incubator, and they replaced it with a dollar store quarterback incubator, to the point where Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles went out and spent top dollar on the best quarterback incubator they could find on the open market.
That's a great way to put it, Marshall. And look, one of the things that I was saying last night was I'm going to give Kevin Warren some credit here for this whole process of, while he's completely supported Ryan Poles, and maybe that's justified, like you give your young general manager a few chances here and there. I think there was some naivete on the part of Ryan Poles in listening to Trace Armstrong, who strong-armed him maybe just a little bit into putting his guys out there. But when I think about it, I believe that Ryan Poles had the final decision on who the head coach would be, because that's what Kevin Warren told us. But I also believe that Kevin Warren was way more at the table, way more less likely to let the process be autonomous on the part of Ryan Poles and his, you know, and Ian Cunningham and the rest of his scouts or whoever he wants to be in the room. I think Kevin Warren probably insisted upon being briefed and being in the room for every single thing that went on. And you could say what you want to say about Kevin Warren with some of the showboating that he has done that has maybe rubbed some people the wrong way, but this man knows how to make a presentation to people. He knows how to sell himself. He knows how to sell the Chicago Bears, and that is what he has done every time that he has opened a microphone. So I do believe that it is possible that he had some effect with Ben Johnson or cleaning some things up with the Chicago Bears and doing things differently. I don't want Kevin Warren to be any part of personnel or get in the way of what Ryan Poles is doing, what he did in the draft or what he did in free agency. That needs to be all Ryan Poles, and Kevin Warren needs to stay out of it. But the fact that he was kind of like, okay, what's going on here? Tell me everything. I want to know everything that's going on here. I do believe that he had some sort of effect, and I do give him credit for that.
Well, apparently he also knows how to do a Friday news dump, because the Tribune is reporting that the Bears stadium focus is at Arlington Heights. You know, that 326 yeah. acre property that they bought to build the stadium.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've been saying all along, and I'll say it again, I wanted that stadium to be downtown. I'm a sucker for that location. I think it is beautiful, and this comes from a person who would be affected by it if taxpayers had to pay it, because I do live in the city of Chicago. But and that's another thing, too. I was at the Kevin Warren presentation of Soldier Field, and it was a wonderful, wonderful presentation. And a lot of people didn't like some of it because it was a little over the top. There were prayers, but they brought out all the stops, and it made me believe, yeah, this is possible. You don't put that many resources into a presentation. I also believe that Kevin Warren truly wanted it downtown. But we all know the state of Illinois, and the governor really was just sort of like, yeah, sorry, not so. sorry, it's not going to happen. This is like every step they just kind of said, yeah, we love the Bears. Bears are cool. Go Bears. But no, we're not going to give you the funding to build this stadium downtown. So it is a beautiful piece of property. It's going to be weird if they do go ahead, and this is not official yet, but they've, as you said, Layla, they've moved their attention to Arlington Heights. It's going to be weird. I'm probably not going to like it at first, but if I'm still covering games for the Chicago Bears then and I go into that dome and cover games, I'm probably going to absolutely love it.
Yeah, Mark, we are late to break, but I just wanted to throw that out there before we went. Thank you so much for your time, Groats. We'll see you Monday, and we'll go over the schedule then. But here's the thing. It was always going to be in Arlington Heights.
Thanks,
Mark.
They just
got a better tax rate.
Thank you, guys. Real quick, guys, just because I want to do a quick shout-out. I will be on the TV tonight on Fox 32 at 10:30 with Cassie Carlson of Fox 32 for her show, The Off Season. So check it out, yo.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
My dad's been a part of my life, and he's a lot smarter than me, has a lot more wisdom than me, so that's why he's heard a lot of people speak before he's in the world of business and real estate. So he's been in it for many, many years. So it was in part and me trusting him. That's why he's a part of it. So the explanation was just that they haven't put, you know, everybody in the right spaces. You know, that's their mission and goal here. That's why y'all have been seeing, you know, the people hired, whether it's coaches, executives, PR teams and things like that. And then getting those right people to bring in the right people for the culture.
That was Caleb Williams talking about the Bears. The reason we are talking about Caleb Williams, not the Bears schedule, not other things right now, is some breaking news that happened. A story broke on ESPN earlier today, a summary of quotes that Carl Williams, Caleb's dad, gave to Seth Wickersham, the author of a book called American Kings, a biography of the quarterback. And these are in the months before Carl Williams' son, Caleb, was drafted by the Bears. It is a blockbuster article, even though it is only a couple of pages because of the quotes. And it certainly makes you understand, A, what Colin Cowherd had to say, I think, the suspicion that Caleb Williams did not want to go to the Bears before he got drafted here. Ultimately, the report that he was okay with it after visiting the team. But then the dissension therein that has happened since. It makes a lot of things make sense. But also, is it a little bit of covering up for other sins that happened during the season? That's what we're trying to parse through and figure out, because this information is a game changer.
You called it breaking news, so let's just say breaking news on The Score, brought to you by Wildfire. Join Wildfire Restaurants as they celebrate 30 years of serving delicious food and creating memories. We were hoping Caleb Williams would create big memories in year one. There were big memories created, but for the wrong reasons. A 10-game losing streak, struggles with the team overall, underachieving, a fired head coach for the first time in Bears history in midseason, also an offensive coordinator dismissed in Shane Waldron, one that Caleb Williams, according to Seth Wickersham in his book, American Kings, a biography of the quarterback, which, by the way, won't be released. It'll be published in September. He tells him basically that he was left alone to study film by himself and didn't know what he was supposed to be watching. He also said that before the draft, he told his dad, Carl Williams, that he didn't know if he could work with one Shane Waldron, and that he'd rather play for the Vikings because of a kinship he developed at the draft combine with Kevin O'Connell, their head coach. So there's a lot of different things that we learn, but I think that last point about him studying film, I just want to make sure he's in a better place now with Ben Johnson, and I am assuming he is.
And this is all word from Carl Williams to Seth Wickersham. And I think that's important to note here as well, is who's telling who what and for what reason. The book that is coming out in September, the fact that this is after everything that's gone on, the fact that a lot of Williams's concern reportedly, Caleb's, was before he was drafted and before he had visited the Bears facilities. But we're already getting a lot of texts right now, and I understand a reaction on Twitch as well. That chat goes a mile a minute now, though, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And I can't help but think about how many different ways this makes me look at quotes during the season, quotes from people, quotes from guys like Colin Cowherd, suspicions that other people had as to whether or not he wanted to come here, the discussion, you know, with Kevin O'Connell. Did the Bears do the right thing in investing in the person who may have not still wanted to come here by catering to everything around him? Yes, I want to make that very clear. When somebody doesn't want to go to your team, and it's an indictment of your team and your structure, and you also have to ask yourself why, not just necessarily if he's the best fit, but you also have to be able to say, what are we doing that would make a quarterback so discouraged to be here? So the actions they've taken since, I applaud. But regardless, this makes a lot of last season make a lot more sense to me.
I think the big thing that I want to reiterate, because I was very strong on this before last season, but also just in general, when you have what you believe is a generational talent and a quarterback that you're going to take 1-1, I think he needs to be paired with an offensive-minded head coach. I said that before Matt Eberflus was hired in regard to Justin Fields. I said that when Matt Eberflus struggled after the one rebuilding year where we knew they were basically tanking. I said, but if you're going to draft Caleb Williams, it needs to be an offensive-minded head coach. And when they hired Shane Waldron, I was like, I guess that'll do for now. But we knew that Matt Eberflus was on the clock after a 7-10 season. And, of course, what happened after was just awful all the way around. And this just gives another layer to how bad things were.
I mean, it's one thing for us to say Chicago is a place where quarterbacks go to die. It's another thing when you hear it from somebody else whose son was a potential first overall pick.
And also it's the idea of the circumventing the cap. The fact that he reached out to Archie Manning because he's like, you figured out how to do this. Can you talk to me about how to do this? How could I orchestrate not getting picked by the Bears?
I mean, the direct quote that Williams told several agents last year, according to this book, I don't want my son playing for the Bears. I also went back not only to Colin Cowherd's statements that really ended up being a flashpoint as to whether or not that was correct, whether or not you considered his sources. Did he really want to be here? We all remember that discussion in April of 2024 leading up to this. But it also made me think about quotes from Ryan Poles recently as the NFL Combine, when it came to what went wrong last year. So we already have in this article the information that Caleb Williams was apprehensive because of Shane Waldron already being hired. Shane Waldron, whose agent was who? Trace Armstrong, the same agent that represents Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus. So knowing all of that, let's listen back to this quote that Ryan Poles gave SiriusXM when it came to, and Pro Football Talk, when it came to how the season fell apart early on in training camp.
There was probably some steps skipped in the very beginning, just in terms of building the foundation.
Gotcha.
Some of the things that you have to have to, and what I believe, to operate at a high level in this league, even as a rookie. And I think that was accelerated probably a little bit much
just
for him.
Because you wanted to get him in there and get him starting,
yep,
and see him playing.
Yep.
Right?
Okay. And with that, some of those things, as you know, as the league studies and figures things out, it gets exposed as you go along.
Right.
But what you saw was his talent show up countless throughout the entire season, especially in critical moments. That was the most important thing for me to take away from the season. In those critical moments, could he elevate his game? And unfortunately, a lot of those, we didn't finish the game for whatever reason. But you saw him elevate and put us in a position to win. And I think we're going to be able to hold on to that. And that's going to show up as we move into the future.
You know what? I agree with Ryan Poles on the one part at the end where he talks about him elevating his game. I think you can clearly look back at what happened in each Bears game. And now it just makes me think there was this mountain that he had to overcome just to get to above water, if you will, in any given game, and to say, okay, I'm going to try to ball out here in the third and fourth quarter and bring my team a chance to win this game, because it doesn't seem like he was getting the preparation and support he needed before said game.
Kevin Fishbane and Adam Johns wrote an article in The Athletic. I've quoted a lot, updated April 3rd of this season. And it says that quote to SiriusXM that Poles had as well. I think through the process, probably some unknowns, we probably skipped some steps in Caleb Williams' development. Some of those critical things that you really can't go to step two before you finish step one, and that takes some time. So bringing him onto the ground floor and building him back up is going to be critical. They're going to be very honest with each other in terms of what needs to happen to take that next step. I think about all of these things because how do you start with somebody who you know might not have wanted to be here? Or at least a major part of his life didn't want him here and his father. And then how are you building onto that at the top of the season? If outright Caleb Williams was already worried about Shane Waldron, but you also knew as soon as you had that first overall pick that you were drafting him, then why'd you still make that decision? And then furthermore, quarterbacks should outlast offensive coordinators in the NFL. When you consider that the NFL has a two-year cycle on offensive coordinators before they go to other jobs or before they become head coaches, why in that moment did you not decide to build around your quarterback when you decided that you were going to make that investment? When the quote from Ryan Poles in here says, we're going to draft you no matter what. Well, what was what then?
I think
no matter what?
I think there's a level of stubbornness, maybe. You know, Ryan Poles is in charge. It's his first GM job. He has made many mistakes. We have recorded a lot of those mistakes that we have the receipts for. This can be added maybe to them. But it's an interesting concept, right? Because if they do go and say, we're not going to play for you, and he's like, we're drafting you for no matter what, and he says no, and let's say they even work out a trade, right? And Jaden Daniels becomes the Bears quarterback because now they have the number two pick and Caleb Williams is playing in D.C. Now, it's a problem for Ryan Poles because Caleb Williams is probably playing at a higher level with Dan Quinn, with Cliff Kingsbury, because they know what they're doing. They have proven track records with young quarterbacks, right? And you're left with Jaden Daniels, who's going to be in this house of mirrors where he doesn't understand, am I even any good anymore? I don't know what's going on because Shane Waldron doesn't have me prepared every week if what Caleb Williams is telling his dad here is true.
We're going to get Seth Wickersham at the top in like 5 minutes.
That means we need to take a break.
Okay, so Seth Wickersham, the author of the book that is coming out that involves the blockbuster quotes from Carl Williams, Caleb Williams' dad, about the time leading up to when he was drafted by the Bears, that is all coming up next. Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.